Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a mini Tuesday Night Jaw episode. I'm Jim Smallman. I'm your host. Just me today because my wife is, I'd say, nearly ready to give birth. She's nowhere near like giving birth today. She's just, both of us just sitting around waiting for a baby to happen. But because I am on labour watch, I am sat at home. So no chance to go out and get guests today. So I thought I'd answer some of your questions. Don't forget, we are proudly part of the Distraction Pieces Network. Big shout out to my lovely mate, Scroobius Pip, for letting me put my podcast on his network and giving us a platform in order to talk about wrestling. And this is a Q&A thing, so this is just me answering a load of questions that I've got on Twitter. Me on Twitter is at Jim Smallman. Use the hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw, so I know that you're talking to me about wrestling and you're not just talking to me about football or abusing me and saying I'm not funny. You know, that's the easiest way of getting hold of me. But if this isn't your thing, this Q&A episode, then go back and listen to some of our older episodes if you've not listened to them before. Interview with Cruiserweight Classic star Jack Gallagher, for example. It was 2 weeks ago that I chatted with William Regal. More on him in just a second. Or you could have the roundtable episode from last week where we discussed Battleground. So, you know, go back and experience some of them. One of my favourite episodes we've done thus far, since we began in April, is our New Japan Explanation episode, which I am super pleased with. Myself, Chris Brooker and Matt Richards just trying to explain how New Japan works and preview the G1 tournament for you all. So go back and listen to that. You'll need about 3 hours, I'm not going to lie to you. This one's not going to be 3 hours, but I'm going to try and answer as many questions as I can. I'm going to avoid certain questions. Questions that ask me to make loads and loads of lists, because it's not fair, because I'm doing them literally as I read them. I'm doing no prep. I'm going straight stream of consciousness out of my brain. And also, if anything's too smarky, I'm not going to answer it, because I can't be bothered. Like, this is a positive wrestling podcast, so I'm not going to badmouth anybody. I'm not going to give you too much in terms of the inner workings of the company that I co-own, Progress Wrestling. So, I'm going to avoid anything that's a bit smarky, and I'm going to try not to sort of repeat myself too much. But I'm going to try and blitz through as many questions as I can. That's my goal. A couple of plugs before we crack on. Progress, my company, we put tickets on sale for... So our next show is in Manchester on August the 14th, and that's sold out. So that's the Ritz in Manchester, August 14th. That's sold out. Our next show after that is August the 28th, Sunday, August the 28th, at the Electric Ballroom in Camden. Now, that's our last show in London before our biggest ever show in Brixton at the end of September. So, progresswrestling.com/tickets. The pre-sale is on now for our next show in London, Chapter 35, which has got one of the best show titles I think we've ever used, which is Writing Nirvana on Someone Else's Bag. Well done, John Briley. Good show title. I think it was John, not Glenn. I don't know. But yeah, the pre-sale's on for that now. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's not a load of tickets left, and often our tickets don't end up on general sale. So I'm going to sneakily give you the code now. If you want to go, progresswrestling.com/tickets, and buy a ticket via the pre-sale. All the premium seats are gone. It's just regular seats and stand-in. Then the code is, unsurprisingly, never mind. Okay, code NEVERMIND, progresswrestling.com/tickets if you want to buy tickets for our next show at the Electric Ballroom in Camden on August the 28th. Our next show after that is our trip to Brixton, the Brixton Academy on Sunday, September the 25th. We're going to need a bigger room again is the name of the show, Chapter 36. For that, go to progresswrestling.com, click on shows, and you'll find the link, because we're not handling the ticket sales for that one, because obviously it's a much bigger undertaking. Our friends at Live Nation are looking after that. So progresswrestling.com/shows, click on the Chapter 36 link, and you'll find all the information that you need in terms of timing and all that sort of stuff, and you can get yourself a ticket. Again, all the premium seats have gone for that, but there's no standing or anything there. It is all seated because it's such a big venue. But please, please, please try and come and see us at either one of those shows. I promise you, we'll put on a good show for you, because that's kind of what we like to do. Right, plug's over. Let's answer some questions. Once again, at Jim Smallman, hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw. Question number one. Some of these are really good, by the way. From Mr. Nobody, who's really called Liam. Do you think you're going to end up with a favourite brand in the new WWE that we have? I don't know. Probably, mate. I mean, at the minute, it's at that lovely point where everything is exciting and feels new. Even though it is only really a reinvention of something and just trying to make a diverse and large roster work well for a big company. But yeah, I think I might. I'm on the fence at the minute as to what it will be. I mean, Raw looks very strong at the minute, but then the first episode of SmackDown was really good as well. So I'm on the fence at the minute. I probably will. But at the minute, I'm going to be good and say, no, I'm sitting on the fence at the moment. Next question, Sam Wilson. Who gives the best hugs on the Progress roster? Easy answer. The best hugs, not just on the Progress roster, but given by anybody in the world, are given by Mark Haskins. Mark Haskins hugs you like, let's say you're in the Navy and you've done a tour of duty and you return from a tour of duty after 2 years away to a five-year-old child that you've not seen for 2 years. Imagine how that child would hug you and how tightly they would grip you. Now then, imagine that that child has grown up into being a 25-year-old professional wrestler who's really, really good. That's how Mark Haskins hugs you. He steps into the hug. It's a violent hug, but it's a good hug. It's a sort of hug you walk away from and go, I felt that, and I feel his love. He's brilliant at hugging. Genuinely, he is brilliant at it. He's brilliant at wrestling as well, but hugging is, oh, he's well good. Ian Hamilton. You've got two questions. One's kind of a joke question, so I'll allow this. It says, how many people offered you a sandwich after Sunday? If you don't know what this question's about. So we were very lucky that William Regal came to our show on Sunday, Chapter 33, and he also made a bit of an appearance. He came out on the stage, and it's one of my favourite ways I've ever introduced anything, because I think we're quite good at surprises at Progress. And obviously, you're probably aware, Mr. Regal is both a friend and my bullying nemesis. So I was in the ring and I was doing all the normal stuff I had to announce and introduce the commentary team and get through the don't be a dick principle of being a Progress fan and all that sort of stuff. And then I knew I had to introduce him. So I hopped out of the ring and walked down the aisle. And it's my favourite way I think I've ever introduced anyone. I just said, oh, I've got a mate who wants to come out and say hello. And you could hear people going, about maybe 20 or 30 people out of the 700 at the Electric Ballroom going, oh, I think I know who this is. And then Mr. Regal's music hit and people lost it. And they still probably thought we were joking at that point. And then he walked out on the stage and the place went bananas. So that was really good. But then obviously he came out and he mentioned that he was, you know, this is the sort of guy he is. He didn't want it to be about him. He wanted to come out and watch the show. And this way we figured everyone would have already sort of seen him, and we've already sort of acknowledged the fact that he's there, rather than people nudging each other and going, I think William Regal's over there. So all he wanted to do was watch the show, and he put over our talented roster, and, you know, appreciated the crowd chanting his name, and then took the piss out of me, because that's what he does. He mocked my alleged comedy, and he told everybody I needed a sandwich. I'm really not that thin. He's just having a shaved head. He thinks I look unwell, and I'm not. I'm 12 stone 10. Do you know, I'm not skinny by any stretch of the imagination. I wish I was. Oh, God. But very few people offered me a sandwich, Ian. But I have had it tweeted a few times, whether or not I got hold of a sandwich. I'll be honest with you. I'll let you into a little secret. Myself and Mr. Regal had a kebab. after the show. He's quite healthy, you know. He's gluten free and very healthy because he's still in tremendous shape. I, on the other hand, did have bread as part of my kebab, and I had chips as well because I just hosted a show and I was tired. Second question from Ian. If the electric ballroom is the MSG of British wrestling, that's your opinion, Ian. No, other British wrestling is obviously available and is obviously wonderful. I don't want to make this too progress biased. What's the Garage? If you don't know, the Garage in Islington is where we started our company. I think the Garage is our ECW arena. And there's a reason for this, Ian. I'm a big ECW fan. Not so much the bloodletting and the hardcore stuff and some of the storylines that were sometimes done to shock. But in terms of the atmosphere and the appreciation for big moments in wrestling that the crowd had there, and the fact that the crowd were always loyal to the company more than any one wrestler. And I feel that's what we've got with Progress. You'll see people wearing a Progress t-shirt over an individual wrestler's t-shirt, which is a tremendous vote of confidence for what we choose to do as a company. And one of the coolest things I think I'll ever achieve is that people support Progress like they support a football team. It's great. So I think, because it's where we all came from, I think the Garage is our ECW arena, because that's what I always had in mind in terms of establishing atmosphere when we first started the company. Sam Wilson, he's best back again. Man asked the hook question. You can book any wrestler from any point in history to have one match in Progress against a regular. Who? Well, that's a tough one, mate, to be honest. It's really tough. I mean, from my own, I'm going to answer this in two ways. So my own sensibilities in terms of stuff that I love being put in a context of the Progress of a Progress match, I'd have Will Ospreay against Hayabusa, because when I was tape trading and stuff, I was obsessed with Hayabusa, because I'd just never seen a high flyer like that, and it's really sad he had to retire the way that he did. And I think him in his prime against Will right now would be wonderful. And then I think I'd like to see someone like Tommy End or Marty Scurll or Mark Haskins against someone like Kenta Kobashi or maybe even Bret Hart in his prime. I think that's it. It's a tough question because there's so much that I could put in there. Yeah, I think that's where my brain is initially going. In a stream of consciousness way, it's initially going down that route. Josh. Hey, Josh. If you could have two footballers scrap it out in a Progress ring, who would it be? I can't remember if I've answered this question. I might have done this in a Q&A on Twitter before, but not on Tuesday Night Jaw. I actively want Marcin Wasilewski, the Leicester City third choice centre-back, fourth choice now we've signed Hernandez, to become a wrestler. If you don't know what he looks like, look him up. Marcin Wasilewski. He looks like a Bond villain. He is absolutely terrifying. Lovely bloke, apparently, but completely and utterly terrifying. When he played in Belgium, he played for Anderlecht. He was their captain, I believe. And he had a really horrible injury that kept him out for nearly 2 years that was a result of a horrible, horrible, deliberate foul by a Belgian footballer called Axel Witsel, who I think is linked with coming back to the Premier League, possibly with Everton now they've got a bit of money. I'd love to see them two settle the differences because they properly hate each other. And I'd like to see that. I'd like to see Wasilewski against Witsel. I'm aware it's a little bit of a niche one and it requires you to probably get a Google now and look up certainly who the former of the two is. But that's because there's legit heat there. You know, it's like Vader Ospreay, but we're footballers. Next question. Magic Sam XXL is your Twitter handle. Your Twitter name is A Dilapidated Boat. Bravo, sir. If you had to book the main events for WrestleMania 34, what would they be? Raw, SmackDown, and a part-timer match. Oh, good Lord. This is hard. Again, this is why I should have read the questions first, but I'm going to plough on. I'm going to do it spur of the moment. Raw main event will be Rollins against... I think babyface Rollins against Kevin Owens. I don't know how you get to it, but I think Kevin Owens has the ability to be in the main event at WrestleMania. And I personally like to see it. Don't forget, obviously, brands can change. People are going to get moved from one brand to another at some point during this as well. SmackDown, I think Dean Ambrose will still be towards the top of things. So, I don't know. SmackDown's a tougher one at the minute. It feels... I don't know if say Dean Ambrose against John Cena. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say for SmackDown. I always think Cena's never going to be out of place in it. Again, I don't know how we get there, and I don't know if everyone's characters stay the same, if Ambrose stays as a babyface, or if someone eventually does the turn for John Cena. I can't see that happening at the minute, but that's potentially where I'd go. And then finally, a part-timer match. You've got to have Brock in there, haven't you? Because Brock is just wonderful. So I wouldn't necessarily have Brock against another part-timer because that, you know, you're looking at Undertaker again, and I don't think we need to do that again. I would potentially... have Brock against Cesaro. Because, again, I think Cesaro can take the step up between now and WrestleMania. And I think playing up Cesaro's legitimacy in terms of the fact that he's a legitimate strongman and legitimately tough, I think would potentially work. Either that or have CM Punk do a run in, eh? That'd be all right, if completely bananas. MJ, Battle Royal, featuring any members of Misfits, Dead Kennedys, Fucked Up and Black Flag. Who wins? Henry Rollins. Henry Rollins wins everything. You know that. Doesn't matter if members of the Misfits have wrestled in WCW. That doesn't matter. Henry Rollins wins everything. All the time. Forever. Burak. Hey, Burak. Which two of your favourite cartoon characters would you like to see have a wrestling match? Ooh. That's... Oh, I don't know. I'd like to see Peter Griffin and the Chicken from Family Guy have one of those three-hour-long New Japan in late 1970s Desert Island Death matches. Because, I mean, they've gradually got longer and longer, the running joke in Family Guy. So maybe if they can do that within the context of the Desert Island three-hour-long utterly ridiculous death match, then that could work, I reckon. Yeah, I'm going with that. Craig Michael Hall. Hey, Craig. He says, when can me and Matt Richards... when can Matt Richards watch me Emerald Fusion you on Giant Gram 2000? This is because I mentioned this during the New Japan episode. Giant Gram 2000 on the Dreamcast is one of my favourite wrestling video games of all time. And Craig lives near me in Chester and happens to have it. So soon, mate. Soon. Very soon. He's baby dependent, but soon. Adam Knight, any unconventional wrestling favourites or guilty pleasures? Me, I love the gimmick Battle Royal from WrestleMania X7, because 17 was so hard to say. I know that my sadly away at the moment business partner Glenn Joseph loves 1999-2000 WCW when it was doomed. Like, really loves it. In a worrying way. That means we should probably make him step away from the creative process a little bit. For me, I really like watching old episodes of Raw from when Raw wasn't really doing good business. So you're talking pre-Attitude Era and pre-Monday Night Wars. So you're talking 1995, when WWE kind of didn't know where it was. It was in that weird hinterland of coming up with a more adult-orientated product and still trying to appeal to not a PG audience, but children. So you still had crazy characters and yet you had the occasional amazingly good wrestling match. So I think I've been back and revisited a lot of those recently, and the wrestling purist in me watches them and goes, some of this is not good, but you'll have the occasional match that is wonderful. And also it's great to see, go back and watch those old Raws and see some of the characters that could really have made it. Waylon Mercy is my favourite example of this, because Danny Spivey ended up getting injured and retiring. But that character was wonderful. So good and so ahead of its time. And so much of Bray Wyatt is based around that character if you go back and watch it. But at the time, didn't work. Doesn't mean you can't ever revisit an idea, though. So that's what I go with, I think. Ben Owens. Would you rather fight one Great Khali-sized Torito or 10 Torito-sized Great Khalis? I don't know. I think. I mean, I'd rather never fight anyone, Ben, if I'm honest. But I think I'd take my chance with one Great Khali-sized Torito, because then, in theory, I mean, going by my own fighting style, and it is, I mean, it's an eloquent, distinct fighting style that I've got. But if I've only got to fight one person rather than 10, that means I've only got to punch one person in the nuts and then run away. That's what I'm going with. Dan Johansson, or Johansson, dependent on how you choose to pronounce it. I'm going to go Johansson. He says, finishers, to what extent are they needed / believable in the post-kayfabe semi-sporting style of wrestling? I think they're important. I am a big fan of the Japanese style of finisher, certainly the All Japan mid-90s style of finisher, where you had two or three versions of your finisher. You had your normal version that you'd win a normal match with. You had your evil version that you would win a huge important match with, or a title match with. And then you had your absolutely insane Ganso driver. nuts, completely insane finisher that you used to end the feud, to end all feuds. I think that's how I feel about them. I think finishers are important. They're an important part of your identity. I think you need to not have too many. So I think it's acceptable for a wrestler to have two at the top three, if one of them's a submission move, finishers, because then it's more believable that you could win out of nowhere rather than having to set up just the one move. I think if you've just got one move as a finisher, it's good to have variations of it. For example, Okada's Rainmaker, he's got loads of different ways he can hit it, which Stone Cold Steve Austin's Stone Cold Stunner had loads of different ways he could hit out of it, loads of ways he could counter out of moves straight into it. RKO is another example of it, which obviously legitimately can be hit out of nowhere. So I think if you've only got one, it needs to have tons and tons of variability, which makes it important. If you've got two or three, then they need to be different to have for different situations. So a submission move for that sort of situation, maybe some kind of strike that can win a match out of nowhere, and then maybe something else. So I think they're important. I think they're important in terms of giving a wrestler his or her identity, because you know if someone's... It's a big part of building a match. You know if someone's... Marty Scurll's a great example of this. He's always looking to use the chicken wing. And it means the crowd react when he's going to try and use the chicken wing. They react to him targeting an arm and a shoulder during a match. So they are really, really important. I see what you're saying about the more competitive nature of the business, but I still think finishers are a big part. And don't forget, you're listening to this, you're probably a smarter fan, if not a definite smart fan. I know I am, but I still like seeing finishers. And if you imagine that you're one of the people who watch wrestling who aren't as smart to the business as we are, which is the majority of people at a WWE show, for example, are kids and families and dads and mums who don't necessarily want to be there, but their little lad or little girl likes wrestling. You need to see finishers to get a sense of when the match is about to end or whether there's drama. It's more important for people who aren't necessarily as big fans. I think if you had everybody sort of winning with, like a UFC match can be won with, like a really tricky grapple, or with a out of nowhere right hand to the face, then it's not necessarily going to be great at reeling in fans who aren't as familiar with the sport as we are. Martin Halliwell, why do Progress shows start at 3 p.m? Is it a football reference? No, it isn't. Manchester starts at 3 p.m. London starts at 4. Normally, I think Brixton might start earlier. I should probably check these facts. But yeah, Manchester starts at 3, just so people, if they're deciding to come from further afield, can get home, because the last trains from Manchester are a little bit earlier than the last trains from London. That's all it is. It's not a football thing. Even though the three of us are big football fans, myself a Leicester supporter, John a Woking supporter, and slightly a Fortuna Dusseldorf supporter because he grew up a little bit in Germany, and Glenn a... meant to be a Newcastle United supporter, but should really now be a Middlesbrough supporter for reasons of marriage. Next question. Sorry, I'm scrolling through my Twitter feed. Sam. Hey, Sam Steph. With Shelton Benjamin coming in, do you think he'll be mid-card fodder or actually have a title run of some description? I don't think it's unreasonable to imagine Shelton, who's a tremendous competitor, I don't think it's unreasonable to imagine him being... being one of the smaller champions. I can't necessarily see him as a world or universal champion. I can see him as an intercontinental or a US champion over the course of the next couple of years. Don't know how long his contract is or anything like that, but he's a great addition to WWE. Just that little bit of experience and someone who always did a good job when he was back there. Sometimes saddled with not necessarily the best gimmicks, but I think he's smashing and good on him. Good on him. There's a certain, when you get to a certain point in your career, it's nice to see that WWE are still interested in bringing people back. People's bridges aren't always totally burned. You know, there's always a chance for him to come back. And he's done great stuff in Japan and in Ring of Honor. And now he gets to go back and, you know, hopefully have a good couple of years run there. And I'm pleased to see him back because I've always enjoyed his work. Next up, we have... So I tweeted something. I'm going from last night's questions, and I tweeted something about my wife last night, and a lot of people are having to filter through those responses while I get to the Tuesday Night Jaw answers. Here we go. In 25 years, your soon-to-be-born child challenges you to a match for control of Progress. Oh, good Lord. If Progress is still going in 25 years... this is John, by the way. Thanks, John. If Progress is still going in 25 years, John, that would be amazing. I would be insane, or possibly dead. He challenges you to a match for control of Progress. What kind of match is it? Bear in mind, John, in 25 years' time, I will be... Let me do the maths. I will be 63 years old. Okay? So, my lad will be 25, and I will be 63. Whatever kind of match we have, he's winning, isn't he? There's no way in a million years I'm beating him. Unless I get really Machiavellian and decide I'm winning because it's my company. I think the important thing is, how is he going to win the title when he's 18? Because I'm going to be the first one. I mean, my daughter is 13 and doesn't like wrestling. So, you know, in theory, you know, we could potentially put her in the fourth Natural Progression series and just put her over it. No, that's not how it's going to work. It's not how it's going to work. I hope, as a sidebar, I really hope when my son is old enough to decide whether he likes wrestling or not, I'm never going to force it on him. I hope he likes wrestling. I hope that Progress goes for a long time and I'm around wrestling for a long time and I can introduce him to it because it's a cool thing, you know. So what kind of match will we have? I don't know. I think if I was ever going to have to be in a match, I mean, I've already taken a kick in pretty badly in a Progress ring. I may as well have a death match at least once. So I've been throwing me through some light tubes or something like that. Get a big old pop for it. Make me have some war scars. Yeah, let's do that. Ryan Howe, what's the one moment in wrestling other than the cell bump you went, holy shit, I need to show everyone? Kevin Owens turning on Sami Zayn after Sami Zayn won the NXT title. I remember I stayed up to watch that. The next day, I made my wife watch it because I thought it was brilliant. And then I made my dad, who's not in any way a wrestling fan, watch it just to explain how quickly you can move a storyline around from the start of the show to an end of a show. And he got it. He got what it was about and why the drama was there and how it was done. Wonderfully done. Wonderful. Even down to the little details, like the little copyright had come up in the bottom corner before he actually turned on him. Wonderful. The most I've genuinely been shocked at a storyline in a long time. Didn't see it coming. In hindsight now, people are going to say, oh, obviously I saw it coming. Most people did not see that coming. And it was a brilliant, brilliant moment. Doesn't always need to be a massive, massive bump. I mean, Sammy did take a bit of a kicking in that. Doesn't always need to be a massive bump like Mick took off the cage. But great moment. Stuff like that is more likely to pop me than watching... I've just mentioned death matches before, but watching death matches and watching really, really sick bumps, I'm much more likely to be caught up in something like that that is just a storyline from out of nowhere. What have we got next? How are you doing so far? You got a cup of tea? Please have a cup of tea while I fast forward through all these. Here we go. Joshua Elsden. Hey, Josh. What would be the most intelligent and equally the most daft way to name your child after a wrestler? My child has already been named. I'm just in interest of our own family privacy, not going to harp on about our son's first or second names in public because we need a bit of privacy. So that's why if you ever see me tweeting about him, I call him Claudio. after Claudio Ranieri, the Leicester manager. He's not going to be called Claudio, I assure you that, but that's how I'll refer to him. So little baby Claudio, I will tell you, he has two middle names. His second middle name is, and this is a serious point, his second middle name is Travis, after my friend Chris Travis, who passed away, because he was an inspiration, and I love Chris. So, and I'm always pleased that we got to tell, me and my wife got to tell Chris before he died that that's what we were planning on doing, and he appreciated it and thought it was really cool. So one of my lad's middle names is Travis. So when he arrives, he will have that. And I think that's an intelligent way, because it means something to me. It means a lot to me. And I think that's the most intelligent way to name your child after a wrestler. I mean, the worst way to name your child after a wrestler is if you're naming your child after anything that just pops you and makes it, and you think is funny, then you probably shouldn't be a parent, really. Like, the amount of people who've said to me, oh, surely, because of football, you're going to call your kid Claudio, Riyad, Jamie, list of names. I'm like, no. And I've even had a couple of people tweet me and say, maybe are you going to call your kid Progress? No, absolutely not. Kid's got a fairly normal name. But yeah, if you're naming your kid Daffley, then, although I did suggest the name Hulk, which was not a wrestling related thing. It was named because I just happened to see the then Zenit St. Petersburg winger on the telly. So, but yeah, try to be sensible when naming your kids. If you have got a kid legit named after a wrestler, be it silly or sensible, I'm going to presume it's sensible. If your kid is legit, or you know a kid legit named after a wrestler, then tweet me, @JimSmallman, #TuesdayNightJaw, because I would love to know if that's a thing. Because that would be amazing if someone's actually done that. Okay, next up, from Scott Crichton. Have you had a suggestion for a This Is Progress match storyline that you've had to say no to? From wrestlers? Yes. From within the three of us? Yes. Have I been one of the people suggesting such a storyline and my business partners have laughed at me and gone, that is absolutely ridiculous, Jim, calm down? Yes. All three of us have had the others turn down storyline ideas because they've been a bit daft. We will occasionally have our talent come to us and say, how about this for an idea? And we'll say no. Very rare it's because it's particularly outlandish. Normally just because we plan so far ahead, we've already worked out what is happening for the guys for the however many months are coming up. But yeah, we've had a few. They will remain nameless, but I'm not going to give it away, just in case we ever have to use it. But yes, Scott, we have had to turn down on more than one occasion people's suggestions for matches. And we always do it with a smile on our face, and we'll never tell people that things are absolutely ridiculous. Because the real wrestlers know what they're doing. They know what they're doing more than we do. And they are comfortable with their ideas and comfortable with knowing what they can do and make work within the ring. Whereas we think about things differently from a creative point of view, in that we're always working 3, 4, 5 shows in advance with our storylines and our ideas and our plots. So it just makes it a little bit difficult sometimes to accept those things. Good question though, mate. Well done. I appreciate it. Here we go. Pillow, good name. What do you think they will do with no titles for middle level on Raw and women and tag teams on SmackDown? I don't know. I mean, in an ideal world, there wouldn't be two tag team titles and two women's titles, and because then we're getting back to the problems with the brand split in the past. It would have been nice to maybe only have tag team wrestling on one of the brands, for example, or women's wrestling only on one of the brands. Raw's longer, so I have the women's wrestling. They've already said they want cruiserweight wrestling there. So on Raw, my solution to it would be, on Raw you would have your women and your cruiserweights, and then on SmackDown you would have, because you've got the IC title there and everything, you'd have your other stuff. So you'd have your tag teams there. So you have your cruiserweights and your women on Raw. You have your tag teams on SmackDown. It makes it easier to build your shows, I think. But that's not how the draft worked out. Maybe that's what they'll do in the future. I suspect what they'll end up doing is introducing other titles, which will make it things a little bit confusing. But if they keep the brand split as distinct as it looks like it is at the minute, then it could work out fine. I think they've learned from the mistakes of the brand split last time around. So we'll see how it ends up, eh? We won't know until we get to the end of it, as it were. Here we go. What's next? You can change the gimmick. This is from Tom. Who sent me two tweets. One to say good luck to both / all three of you. I presume he means me, the wife, and the kid, rather than me, John, and Glenn. But either way, you can change the gimmick of three current WWE talents. Who and what do you change their gimmick to? Whew, that's tough. I would change. Oh, you put me on the spot here, Tom. I change Cesaro's gimmick slightly. I don't think he needs to be the kind of James Bond thing. And he doesn't need to be a circus strongman, because that's an easy way to put him down that route, because it's what he is. But I think you need to legitimise his general toughness and give him more of a fighter gimmick. It's a very, very little tweak to it. But I think that would just, especially because I mentioned before, I'd feud him with Brock Lesnar eventually. I'd just have that. Just, I think, you know, I know that necessarily the shows don't necessarily match up at the minute, but still, that's what I'd do. So that's one. Another one, I'd do something with Dolph Ziggler to just try and give him a. I don't know what I'd do with him, but the kind of show off things a little bit sort of played out, and probably works better if you're a full on heel than it does if you're a babyface. So I try and do something just to maybe incorporate the fact that he is a really, he doesn't get much chance to talk, and he is a good talker, and he's got interest in stand-up comedy and stuff like that. So I do think it feels a little bit like there could be something. You don't necessarily always need to have massive, big reinventions with these guys, but I do think that's something there that could be done. And the other person I do it with when he comes back from injury is Luke Harper. I think Luke Harper can be reintroduced in a different way. It doesn't need to be, you know, his facial expressions, his eyes are terrifying, his wrestling skill is great. If you've listened before to Tuesday Night Joy, you'll know that I love him. I think he's brilliant. But I think you could do a lot more with him. You can make him a believable psychopath who can operate on his own. Just, you know, really try and bring him in. The character I mentioned before about Waylon Mercy, there's elements of that that could work. You can still take it away from him being like Bray Wyatt. I think separating away from being a Bray Wyatt family member and making him his own entity, I think he's got a good future ahead of him, because I think he's great. Big fan of him. Thank you for that, Tom. I'm aware the answer's probably not the best, but I've tried my best. Right, where are we going next? Good question so far, by the way. Is it big? You know, I like doing this, and I get a lot of questions, which is brilliant. But I'm aware that sometimes, because I answer them spur of the moment, sometimes my answers might be a bit rambling. Liam Bilton, we've covered this before, mate. I'm going to answer it because I'm scrolling past it. Shouldn't Tuesday Night Jaw now be on a Wednesday because of the brand split? No. It's always going to be on a Tuesday, because that's where we've started. There's various boring technical reasons it has to remain being called Tuesday Night Jaw now. And also, I like recording it on a Tuesday. Don't forget, it's only once a month that we really, really go delve into Raw. Most of the time, I'm talking to guests or out and about, or we're doing some kind of introduction, like the draft thing that we did, or we're doing the New Japan introduction, or it's me chatting to William Regal or whatever. The roundtables, and we record them on a Tuesday in London, but we mainly talk about the pay-per-views. We occasionally, last time we touched on Raw a lot more because Raw was important after the brand split. Most of the time, we don't get a chance to even talk about Raw. So it's always going to stay on a Tuesday. Sorry about that. a lot of people, by the way, have been tweeting me. I've just noticed something on my Twitter feed. Rich Fan saying, and a few people have said this, appreciating my description of a wrestler a little while ago, which is of Katsuyori Shibata, describing him as a guy who works in a bank and does jujitsu on the weekends. Because I just like being able to sum people up in one sentence. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to do. Rob Hills, did you get yourself tested after Jack Sacksmith almost had his way with you in the ring on Sunday? I didn't. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's something weird about having to come home to your heavily pregnant wife. And when she says, did you have a good day? And you say, yeah, I think I was a little bit assaulted by a wrestler in the ring. What, physically? No, romantically. Sacksmith, the longest time he's kissed me for, and I believe he clambered all over me. I don't know. I had my eyes closed at the time, because, you know, you close your eyes when someone kisses you, don't you? That's what you're meant to do. Dan, hi Jim, What wrestling memorabilia do you have? What do you collect? My wife will tell you, I collect too much stuff. I don't really have loads and loads of wrestling memorabilia. in the same way, I don't tend to have my photos taken with as many people as I should. I've met some really, really cool people since, you know, Progress started 4.5 years ago. And I very rarely have my photos taken with people. And I think I'm probably going to regret that one day. I mean, obviously, there's pictures of me in the ring with people, but it's nice sometimes to have a picture taken backstage. I don't like bothering people. And I always like trying to look like I'm a promoter rather than a fan, even though I'm a fan first and a promoter second. I have some little bits.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Bobs of Japanese wrestling memorabilia. I've got a Super J Cup program that someone gave me the other week, which I really like. I have Gary Puxty, I think is his name, who I went to Raw a couple of years ago, and he was right in front of the camera and he held up a sign that says, "I'm a Jim Smallman guy." He then gave me that sign. I got that sign signed, said the word signed too much in this. I got that sign signed by William Regal, and I've got that. So that's something that just means a lot to me. It means a lot to me that a wrestling fan would take that to a show and mention me and Progress in front of the cameras. I think that's really cool. But then I happened to see Mr. Regal a couple of days later, so it was nice to have our photo taken with it and have him sign it, just because it's nice to keep that sort of stuff along. But I don't have loads and loads and loads. I've got a fair few PWG DVDs and Ring of Honor DVDs from when Ring of Honor was very new. But I'm pretty good at keeping it fairly minimal. I've got some wrestling t-shirts, obviously. I've got loads of Progress ones, and I've started buying other ones from Pro Wrestling Tees, but no, I'm trying to be good. Desperately trying to be good. Alan Boone. Hey, Alan. What promotions, other than WWE and New Japan, do you watch regularly? And good luck with Baby Watch. Thanks, mate. I watch PWG regularly, because it's wonderful. I have mentioned this a few times on my bucket list. I'd love to ring announce for PWG. Just putting it out there. Like, PWG is one of the reasons Progress exists, because me and John watched PWG one night in Edinburgh in 2011 while I was doing the Fringe, and he was my manager, and we loved it. And at the time, I don't think John had seen much indie wrestling. It's always been my thing, and I just. That's where Progress came from, is having a chat and saying, deciding to run a wrestling promotion, and it's become what it's become. But PWG, I'm desperate to get to a PWG show at the very least at some point in my life. I watch New Japan. I watch a little bit of Noah when I can, and I can find ways to watch it. And I watch a little bit of Lucha Underground. Again, harder to watch Lucha Underground in this country. I wish, dear iTunes, please allow us to buy Lucha Underground. Like you can in America. I'd love it if I could just buy it and just have it on my iPad. So, you know, season one of Lucha Underground would be brilliant just to watch. Just to, you know, because it's a different type of product. And it's interesting that they're trying to do something different. So I like Lucha Underground. Okay, next. Stephen Louch. Or Loosh. Loosh or Louch? I don't know, Stephen. I don't know how you say your name. How is the three-day format of Super Strong Style 16-17? Because that's what it's got to be called. Super Strong Style 16, because that's the year it's in. No, that's the name of the... Oh, God, even I can't do it. Super Strong Style 16, that's the tournament name. 17, that's the year it's in. Going to work. Bigger roster or more staggered? We made some announcements with Progress yesterday. So we announced all of our dates for 2017, which features the fact that Super Strong Style 16, our tournament that goes over the final May Bank holiday weekend, is now going to be 3 days, Saturday, Sunday and Monday, which we've never done before, but the demand is there, so we're doing it. And also, we're going to start running shows, doing two shows next year in Birmingham, as well as obviously doing shows in Manchester, which we love. People have gone, why less shows in Manchester? It's complicated. I can't go into the details, but Birmingham is close enough to Manchester for all our fans from Manchester to come, and it's close enough to London for all of our fans from London to come. So that's why we chose Birmingham, as well as it being a cool city and somewhere that, you know, I'm from 30 miles down the road from it. So we're running in Birmingham as well. But to answer your question, Stephen, we don't know yet. Genuinely don't know. I would suspect it'll still be 16 people, and we'll just stagger it like WXW do their 16 carat tournament. That's what I would suspect. Gives the guys more time to work out better matches and to be less exhausted, because it's hard for them. I would rather do that than do... In my head, I'd rather do that than more people. However, that doesn't mean that my answer is correct, because I haven't spoken to my two partners about it. We don't know. We genuinely don't know. Could be either. Either way, I promise you this, it'll be a great 3 days, and we'll try and sort some entertainment out on the Saturday night, as well as doing a live podcast or something on the Sunday night. So we will do cool stuff in order to keep you interested. Trust us. Chris Hughes. I get asked this question a lot, Chris, but I'm going to answer it anyway. If you could book any wrestler for Progress, who would it be and why? Changes every week, mate. Changes every week. At the minute, I don't know. Genuinely don't know. I'd like to book Flamita against Will Ospreay, because it would blow my mind. That's the one that's this week's in my head. Next week it'd be Shibata. Week after that it could be Cedric Alexander. There's so many names. There's so many names. And I'm always realistic about it. I mean, if I could have anyone at all ever, probably CM Punk or Daniel Bryan. But that's not going to happen. But you know, that would be where I go if I could do anyone ever. But at the minute, those guys I've named. Yeah, cool. Gareth Deadman. He's not dead, but he's called Gareth. And from his Twitter avatar, has a good beard. Two questions. Cheeky, cheeky, cheeky freak. which veteran would you like to see come back to WWE as a manager, and who would they manage? I already think, Gareth, they're doing brilliant things with Bob Backlund and Darren Young. I love Bob Backlund. I mentioned this on the roundtable. Read his autobiography if you haven't. It's great. It is wonderful. That is already something that they're doing. So I don't know if they would... And obviously Paul Ellering's in NXT as well. So I don't know if that's necessarily something they would look to do. However, who would I bring back to manage if I could pick anybody at all? Do you know what I'd like to do, Gareth? I would like to have Shawn Michaels manage and mentor somebody. I don't know who. See, I think it could be really interesting to have him manage. Maybe Dolph Ziggler. Mention Dolph Ziggler needs something. Maybe him. In a kind of grizzled kind of, yeah, look, me and you are very similar, but you need to follow in my footsteps better. Let me teach you. Let me show you the way, and teach him a few little underhanded, devious sort of things, and add a bit, round out his character a little bit, as well as giving us a reason to see Shawn Michaels, is always great to see. So that's maybe where I'd go with that. Your second question, Gareth: does Tommy End go straight into the main roster or into NXT to fight Shinsuke Nakamura for a while? I don't know what's planned for Tommy, to be honest. Should Tommy end up over there? I don't know. I would imagine now the time, and this is a general answer to this question, the time for anyone to just go straight onto the main roster, I think AJ Styles and it happened to Shelton Benjamin because he was there before, I think they're exceptions. I think most of the time people are going to end up at the Performance Center, and they're going to be trained the WWE way, which is different to independent wrestling. It's different to wrestling in Mexico or Europe or Japan or Britain. So I think everyone's going to end up in NXT. And also, as well, don't forget, because of the brand split, people are going to get called up from NXT all the time. So go have that conveyor belt. Rory Gould, I'm going to presume your name. Rory Gould, I'm going to presume your name is pronounced that, Rory. The reason being that I've got a mate with the same name, and he pronounced it Rory. Apologies if I've got it wrong. Celtic, I believe. Good name. What have you thought of G1 so far? Enjoyed it, mate. It's G1. If you know nothing about G1, go back, listen to our New Japan / G1 special. Get educated in it. Sign up to New Japan World. Watch it, because it's belting. I've enjoyed it. I mean, there's bits of it that have properly surprised me, and I don't want to give you any spoilers, but there's a couple of matches where I've gone, who went over? What? But it's been cracking. Been really, really good. And it always is. It is a global showcase of how good wrestling can be. If you like that, the stiff, realistic, you know, stuff, then it's worth it. But I've enjoyed it. Hope you've enjoyed it, Rory. Tweet me. Let me know if you've enjoyed it. Rude of me not to ask. Next, Charlie Eastman. Hey, Charlie. Do you listen to any other podcasts on a regular basis? And if so, who? Obviously, because I'm on the Distraction Pieces Network, I listen to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces podcast. Occasionally, there's wrestling-related stuff on there. He's had Chris Jericho on and Will Ospreay. But obviously, his guests are all over the place, from the world of comedy that I inhabit. So many really cool people on there. And even though he's a mate, it's great. I can listen to him all day. Do you know what I mean? His podcast is wonderful. In terms of wrestling, I listen to Chris Jericho's podcast. I listen to Steve Austin's podcast. I listen to, and have listened to for ages, Art of Wrestling, Colt Cabana's wonderful podcast, which is tremendous. I've listened to it for, I think, at least a good couple of years, where I discovered it and then binge listened to it. Like, really went crazy binge listening to it. And I got all the premium episodes and all that sort of stuff. And I love them. I think they're wonderful. Just tremendous, tremendously put together and really cool to listen to. And, you know, I listen to things like MLW and stuff like that. I don't always just listen to wrestling podcasts. I like stuff like Serial, and I like Mark Maron. I like podcasting in general. I think podcasting is the future of audio broadcasting. I think radio is on a limited time now before radio becomes pretty much obsolete and everything's just on demand. So, you know, I think on-demand audio will come before we're totally on-demand in television. I think we'll still have broadcast television, but I think broadcast radio is going to depart in maybe the next 4 or 5 years because podcasting is getting so strong. So, yeah, that's my answer to that. James Lee Clover. Rollins versus Balor. Who wins at SummerSlam? Rollins, I think. Love Balor to win because he's a mate. I'd love him to win. I love them both. They're both great guys. But I think Rollins wins. I think Rollins wins because he's a heel. And it's always, since Triple H has been involved in WWE, it feels to me that it's always been heel champions. Heel champions seem to have longer runs than babyface champions. And to be honest, it's easier to write towards, because it's always easier to write the chase than it is someone who's already popular sort of staying there. That's a real challenge, right, for a babyface champion. So I think Rollins wins. I think it's screwy as anything, and it's probably to set up something else. I mean, the other alternative is Rollins is getting cheered so much by the time they get there that Finn actually forms the new version of Bullet Club and wins the title that way. But I think Rollins. I think this is Balor's first shot, and then come start of next year, I think he's going to be in line for it again. What we got next? Chris, I've never asked you, Chris, how you pronounce your name. Chris, either Line A or Line A. Daisuke Sekimoto for Super Strong Style 16 in 2017. Don't know, mate. Genuinely not even thought about who we're having yet. You know us, it won't be import heavy. Just as an aside, bringing people in from Japan is a proper pain, because people in Japan have contracts that they're not independent workers as a rule like American guys are. So you have to negotiate with their company they work for as well as the wrestler. And flights are super expensive from Japan, and then you have the language barrier and stuff like that. I love Japanese wrestling. Bringing Japanese wrestlers to Progress is a bit trickier than you would actually think. It's not the easiest thing in the world. Sekimoto is brilliant. If you've never seen the work of Daisuke Sekimoto, then I recommend you go and look him up. He's great, especially if you like heavyweight wrestling. But at the minute, don't know, mate. Genuinely, we've got Brixton to get through, and we've got the rest of the year that we're working on at the minute. But we've not necessarily thought that far ahead yet. There's a couple of names in the back of my head that I'd love to get, but I'm not going to tell you who they are. Because you got to wait and see. What's next? How are we going next? Give me a second. Scott Murrin. Were you at all worried that Will Ospreay would have to miss Chapter 33 because of his injury? I believe he missed a show in Newcastle, I want to say, on Friday or Saturday night. Will's got a bad shoulder. Will hurts everywhere, if we're being honest. He's only 22, and he takes a bit of a hiding. There's a lot of sitting on planes for him at the minute because he's super successful. When he came into the show on Sunday, he's got a shoulder injury and he was holding his arm in front of himself. I'm like, mate, are you all right? And he's like, yeah, I'll be fine to wrestle. And he was, and he had a wonderful match with Mark Haskins, one of my favourite matches of the year that we've had. But I was never worried because as soon as he announced he was missing a show, we were like, are you going to be okay to wrestle for us? And he said, I should be. And then I trust him. I trust him. He knows his body. But yeah, the guy was hurting. And he's the sort of person who hates pulling any booking at all. And you know, I'll tell you this, pretty much every wrestler in this country, if they have to pull a booking, it's for a legit reason. Because they are hurting. Because wrestling is not a fun job to do. When you're out of the ring and you're not getting the crowd cheering you, the rest of the time when you're having to train and your body's hurting you, sometimes it isn't fun, and sometimes you have to listen to your body and have a rest, and that's what he did that day. And I did, after the show, I made a point of sitting down with him and saying, look, you try and take the rest of this week off and have a bit of a rest and not go too crazy or do anything. And I believe he was planning on having a few days at home just chilling out and resting, so good for him. But I'm sad for the people who missed out on seeing him up north. Delighted we managed to get him to wrestle for us, but you know, I was never worried. As soon as things like that happen, we ask people the question and go, are you going to be all right? Because I don't like having to announce on the day that someone's injured. I'd like to be able to come up with a contingency plan. But in that situation, we didn't have to worry about it. He was fine to wrestle for us, whilst still definitely not 100%, that's for sure. Where are we next? Scott Murrin. Here's you again, Scott. With so many British guys in Battle of Los Angeles for PWG this year, which Americans would you like to have for Super Strong Style 16 next year? Similar question to the Daisuke Sekimoto one. I don't know. I've got, in my head, there's probably a potential list of about 8 people, but I want to play poker with it a bit here, Scott. I don't want to give them away. Also, I want you guys to be surprised when we announce people, which is why I always not sort of do that. I mean, if you follow me on Twitter and you hear how I talk about independent wrestling, you'll know there's people I like. But it's not just my decision. It's 3 of us. And it's down to other people's diaries and other people's contractual obligations and stuff like that. So we'll see. I'd love to be able to give you more, but I'm not going to. Dylan Sharp. With more companies in the UK popping up, has it been a bigger challenge to book talent for dates than before? No, it hasn't, Dylan, because we tell our talent our dates a long time ago. So we announced our 2017 dates. We announced our 2017 dates this week publicly. We've known them for a month. So everyone who we expect to be using in 2017 knows when they're wrestling. You know, and the way we do bookings is we'll get people to pencil in when they're working for us, and then if we don't need them, we'll tell them a good few months in advance, because that's how far in advance we work. So we think about it like that. The biggest problem for us in terms of using people is when guys are getting successful and getting the recognition that they deserve, and they're going out to America and Japan. That's when it makes it difficult. Will, in particular, Will's appearance for us on Sunday was the first one for us since March, and the reason for that was that, yeah, he's in Japan all the time. We can't use him. He has New Japan commitments. And if we were running a show the same weekend as Battle of Los Angeles, we would be scuppered. Because you don't want to turn around to our British guys and say, you booked for us and you got this big opportunity. So it does make it a little bit tricky with people being in demand overseas, because it's hard to compete with a trip to America you know, even though we look after people and we try and be one of the friendliest, most approachable companies for wrestlers to work for, if you say to someone, you could potentially have a week in Japan or a week in America, or you could work for us, it's a bit difficult. What is really nice is a lot of the time people will put us first, which is super cool of them, but we also don't want to get in anyone's way. So the sheer amount of companies in this country, not a problem. I do, and I've said this before, we will reach a point where there are too many companies in this country. Most companies in this country run, you know, are good companies. I mean, you think like 4.5 years ago, I think the genesis of where wrestling, because I get people say to me a lot, "Oh, you're responsible for British wrestling being great." No, I'm not. No, it's no. Progress is one company out of several really good companies that has enabled British wrestling to be fertile. So, and we were not the first at all. We came along when British wrestling was bubbling under quite nicely, and we started, and then all of a sudden, about 6 months after we started, everything went a bit mad. So it's not just us, you know. It's the companies that have been around for a while, like us now, because we've been here 4.5 years. ICW in Scotland, PCW in Preston, Southside all over the place, Rev Pro in London. Is there any more? NGW in Hull. Companies that have been around for a bit, and you know, we've all worked. Future Shock, obviously, friends of the show. You know, these are all companies that have been around for a bit. IPW, FPW down south too, all been around for a bit, and we're all, you know, we've all kind of got used to working with each other. It's all the additional companies that kind of sometimes makes the diary a little bit complicated. But equally with us, I think, and it's probably the same with ICW, I think a lot of the time, and PCW run on different days to us, and I think a lot of the time people will look at diaries and go, right, well, Progress running on that day, so we'll run on a different day. That's certainly what happens amongst the bigger companies. We all kind of work around each other and make sure, which is one of the reasons we announce our dates early, is so that everyone else is aware when we're working, and they can make sure that they can get as many people for their shows in the same way we can make sure we get as many for us. It's a bit of a complicated juggling situation, but because British wrestling is doing so well, there will be smaller companies that will pop up and maybe only last a show or two. And fair play to them for trying, but there's going to reach a point where there's too many companies. So, you know, if you're listening to this and thinking I might start a wrestling company, maybe don't. Maybe try and get involved with a wrestling company instead. Maybe invest your money in a wrestling company that's already going and make that company better rather than starting a new one. Because at the minute, there's tons of us. And I think if you're planning on starting a company in the next 2 or 3 weeks, you're probably all right. But 6 months down the line, if it goes at the rates going, you know, there's going to be a wrestling show every 2 minutes, and El Ligero is going to be really, really busy. Dave Higgins, what's a bit of merch that you know would never sell en masse, but that you would personally love to own? Oh, wow. Oh, I don't know. I'd like a Progress duvet. Yeah, let's make that happen. John Briley, make that happen. Jay Breezy, make that happen. That's what I want. I want a Progress wrestling. It's got to be a double duvet as well, because I'm a winner and I'm married. Charlie Eastman again. Do you think that with the success in Lucha Underground, that intergender wrestling will become a thing in WWE/New Japan? No, definitely not in New Japan, because as you've probably noticed, there's not really women's wrestling in New Japan. Women's wrestling in Japan is normally done in separate companies. So definitely not in Japan. In WWE, maybe, but no. I mean, I'm not a fan. I don't mind intergender wrestling. I don't mind it. But I'm always aware of offending people with any violence towards women. So I've always got that in the back of my head. Because don't get me wrong, women tend, like all the women who've come through Progress's school, all trained with the guys. I've watched them wrestle guys at training. There's something very different about how you contextualize women wrestling men. If you make it that it's done as strict competitive, a strict competition, so people are, they're wrestling, the woman is wrestling a man because she is on the same competitive level as him, which is completely legit. I'm totally cool with that. If you start giving any intergender thing any form of kind of slightly sexual overtones, then I'm really against it. I hope that makes sense. Because it's perfectly legit that a woman could batter a bloke, especially how well trained a lot of women's wrestlers are. Perfectly, perfectly believable in my eyes. It's just when you start getting any form of creepier overtone into any intergender wrestling, to in order to tell a story that I'm not a fan of it. Hope that makes sense. What's next? Alistair Dyson. Hey Jim, if you could film a fully funded documentary on any promotion in history, who would you pick? Part of me wants to pick All Japan in the mid-90s because it's my favourite, one of my favourite periods of wrestling. However, I think I'd make it on FMW in Japan. Just cause I'm fascinated with Japan anyway. I love the place. But also FMW was all over the place as a promotion and had a weird sort of financial structure, and the matches that they had were crazy, and they had some pretty, you know, big, frightening things happen on their shows. So I think FMW. Yeah, I think that'd be it. I mean, ideally, I can do the voiceover for it or the presenting for it, and someone's going to pay for me to go out to Japan to do all the research as well. I mean, that'd be sweet. Liam Stevens, will there ever be a costume gimmick that will ever win the big one, i.e. the title, like the bunny in WWE? No, Liam. No. Unless the person in the costume, it's a one-off, person in the costume wins the title or wins a Royal Rumble or something like that, and then it's revealed to be someone who is storyline suspended. That's the only way that's ever happening. It's never happening, I don't think. Unless you count Jushin Thunder Liger as a costume, because that costume was given to him in order to entertain children. So, I don't know. But I don't think, like, a rabbit, no. Unless it's Tommy N's rabbit, that'll win. Wilson. Great Twitter name, Volvos never die. Kickouts from finishes being the norm. It's not really the norm. It's the norm on big shows. Like, finishes shouldn't be kicked out of on Raw or SmackDown. Finishes shouldn't be kicked out of in every independent show. So otherwise they're not a finisher. The use of kicking out of a finisher should be reserved for a match that is big or important. But I get where you're coming from. It does feel more common than when I was a kid, let's be honest. Is there still room for a shot roll-up or pin from a lesser move? Absolutely. I'll give you an example. Progress Show at the weekend. The London Riots, our tag team champions, had to use a roll-up, and it turns out from watching the footage, a sneaky handful of tights, to beat War Machine. Because it's the only way they could beat them. That's the only way they could beat them. Sometimes opportunism works really, really well to get over the competitive nature of a match. You do it in every match, totally get it, not right. But every now and again, in the right context, a roll-up is a perfectly acceptable way to finish a match. I'm never going to be a fan of having them in every match. Good God, no. But it is acceptable for a surprise reason. I likewise think a pin from a lesser move is also worthwhile if it plays into the context of a storyline. Let's say you've been targeting your opponent's head for the entire match, and you know, after they've kicked out repeated finishers, you hit them with a rolling elbow or a super kick, and that's not necessarily your finisher, but that's the thing that makes them crumple to the mat and you can pin them. Yeah, totally get it. Totally get it. What we got next? Sam Green. I've just started following New Japan. Do you think they have too many titles? Should they remove any? Because of how Japanese wrestling big shows are structured, Sam, I think they've got the right amount of titles. They maybe don't need the six-man one. But I think the never open weight one, fine. The Intercontinental title, fine. The IWGP title, fine. The junior one, fine. The junior tag title, fine. The main tag title, fine. I mean, it's a lot of titles, but it just means people are defending them all the time, and it gives everyone a place in the card. You've got to bear in mind, they don't tend to have the sports entertainment storyline builds that we have. So I think having the titles makes more sense in Japan than it does in America. If Raw had that many titles, it would feel weird, because you won't be able to build the storylines. But Japanese wrestling is structured differently, so I think I'm fine with that. Josh Lawless. Favourite overseas talent you've had on Progress shows? Genuinely, everybody we've had over has been a joy. A joy. I think it's really difficult. It's like choosing between children, mate. I think it's really hard. I think it's maybe between... excuse me, maybe between Tommaso Ciampa and Chris Hero, purely because they're the people I've spent the most time hanging out with. I loved having Samoa Joe over, loved having Finn Balor over, loved having Roderick Strong, Adam Cole, War Machine this last weekend. It's really hard, not going to lie to you. Really hard. Matt Cross is a cool dude because straight edge, and me and him got on. Sammy Callahan's great. It's really, really, really difficult. But I think because in the case of Tommaso, he is obviously he's on our Brixton show against Zack Sabre Jr. and he's got a bit of a history in our company. And because Chris Hero had four matches for us, I think they're probably between those two, I'd say. Right, nearly at the end. I've got a few more. I've answered this. Daniel Ellis, I've answered your question about new tag and women's types of SmackDown already, I think. Jack Richardson, may have been answered before. How is the stage slash ring setup going to work in Brixton? I have answered it before, but I'll answer it again for you. There's a flat floor going in, okay? So there's a flat floor going into the Brixton Academy, like they put for club nights. Flat floor will go in, and then once the flat floor's gone in, excuse me, that's my phone ringing, but I'm not going to answer it, sending me dad, I'll answer him in a bit. So the flat floor goes in, and then once the flat floor goes in, the ring is kind of half on the stage, half on where the flat floor has gone in. Then there's slightly less seats around the back of the ring, and then obviously the majority of the seats are the balcony and the main part of the floor. So that's how it's going to work. I mean, it's not right in the middle of the building, if that makes sense. The Josh, who's the next NXT champ? Shinsuke Nakamura, mate. I reckon. I think, don't you? I have no issue if Joe keeps it forever, but I think it's Nakamura. Daniel Ellis again, if you could pick one band to do the WrestleMania music style slot at Brixton, who would it be? Kid Rock. I'm only kidding. No, it wouldn't. I maybe ask Pip to do it. I don't know. I mean, it's difficult because my musical sensibilities are very different to the other two lads, but my musical sensibilities are probably the closest to us as a company and our fan base. So I don't know, really. I'd like Gallows to do it. Or Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes, because that's just an album I really enjoy at the minute. I mean, if we're going to go really stupid, then just get Metallica to play For Whom the Bell Tolls for me to walk out. That'd work, wouldn't it? It's totally fine. Joe Atherton. Hey, Joe. Does it annoy you when fans jump on a finish not realising it's building to a resolution at future chapters? Not really, Joe. I mean, I think most of our fans, if they don't like a finish to a match, I think most of the time they realise that we've built trust up with our fans. And even if people do complain and go, I don't like this person losing. I don't like this person losing a title. I don't like how this happened. Do you know what? It just proves that people care about our product. I'd rather have that than people just going, meh. So I'm fine with it. I think 90% of Progress fans in particular realise that we've got a plan with what we're doing. And it's the same if you're watching WWE. You're watching WWE, you're watching something that never ends. There's never a season finale. It's never going to stop. So, you know, just enjoy it. They're going to get to something that you like eventually. That's the way I look at it. But in terms of being an indie promoter, we work further in advance than most people. And we have more storylines than quite a lot of indie promotions around the world. So trust us. If we've done something, it's always for a reason. Always. Everything is that well thought out. Trust us. You know, it might be the next show, might be 10 shows down the line that something pays off, but trust us, we know what we're doing. Next question from Dan Johansson again. Reigns versus Rusev. Getting a lot of love online, but I think it's doomed to fail with Roman Reigns as a face. Thoughts? I don't think it's necessarily doomed to fail. I think Roman Reigns is in a difficult position, as we discussed repeatedly on Tuesday Night Jaw. He's in a difficult position in that he is essentially a heel. The difficult part of this is you could put him against anyone who's got any form of babyface sensibility and it will make it a lot easier. But in WWE management view him as a face. Everyone else, including himself, I think, views him as a heel, which makes it a little bit tricky. What I would say is, this is, if you want to flip it on its head, this is a great opportunity for Roman Reigns to actually just have a really, really good feud, be really, really good, and start winning over people who are a bit sort of the naysayers about him. Because I like Roman Reigns, and I've said this a few times. I think he's unfortunate in that people are really giving him a bit more grief than he needs to have. But it is difficult the way he's positioned at the minute because he is getting booed, and we can't deny that. Future Shock Wrestling, at Future Shock Res. When are we going to get you along to one of our shows? Soon, people. I promise. You're only down the road from me, Stockport and Warrington and places like that. And I promise I'll be there soon. It's just, it's really difficult at the minute. I'm a very busy man. And, you know, Prego and all that. But I will be there soon because I love watching wrestling. And it goes, there's any, if you ever see that I am working somewhere and there's an indie show on the weekend I'm there, then whether you work for the said promotion or you are just a fan of that promotion, invite me along. I'm happy to buy a ticket. I love watching wrestling. And also it means I get to watch people that we could potentially use at Progress. It's great, isn't it? Oh, what have we got next? Simon Bath. What title reign in all of wrestling ever do you think was the most important? Well, that's a good one, isn't it? Hulk Hogan's. Hulk Hogan's first title reign when he beat the Iron Sheik. Because that took wrestling to the stratosphere. If that had never happened, would I be here now as a wrestling promoter and someone doing a podcast about wrestling? Who knows? I don't think you can look much beyond that because it's nuts. I mean, whether you like Hulk Hogan or not, as a person, not particularly keen. As a wrestler, not particularly keen. In terms of knowing his importance to how wrestling grew, you can't deny it. So I think that's it. That first Hulk Hogan title run when he was a superhero, that brought so many people on board to wrestling and just made it an entirely different environment for everybody. Right, nearly at the end now. I have answered a lot of questions. So what we at now? Here we go. Joe Atherton again. The Universal title is a pony name. Can you come up with a better, more fitting one? No, Joe, I can't. Because I've tried. I tried on the last round table. It's difficult. I know a lot of people aren't necessarily a fan of it. But if you think about it, one's a world title. The other one's a Universal title. It kind of makes sense. You know, and they do use the WWE Universe. I know a lot of people aren't keen, but I can see the thinking behind it. And it's like doing a maths exam. I'm giving WWE, they could have got 2 marks for this. I'm not giving them a mark for the name of it, but I'm giving them a mark for showing they're working. Do you see where I'm coming from? That's what I'm coming up with. Have we got any more questions? I think we're right near the end of this. Burak Sezgin, which soft drinks would you use to do the Steve Austin toast? There was a match, and I forget which match it was. It might have been when Will won the Progress title. I forget, and someone threw me a beer in the ring, and you could hear 700 people at Progress going, dude, you're straight edge, you're not going to drink that. Of course I'm not. I'm going to do the cheers thing, but then I'm going to hand it to someone to drink the drink for me. At the minute, Soda Folk cream soda would be my answer, Burak. Soda Folk cream soda. That, please. They sell it in the diner around the corner in Camden. If someone wants to bring me a can at the next Progress show at the end of August, that'd be great. Laz. Can we get real Keith Lee, that's his Twitter handle, over for the next Atlas series? Big Lads Wrestling is awesome. I will watch some of the work of Mr. Lee. I've already said, who knows? I don't think there'll be an Atlas series. Obviously, this is crowning an Atlas champion. But, you know, Atlas champion is going to need challenges, so I'll have a look. I'll have a watch. It's the best thing I can do. Wilson has asked again, top 5 morbidly obese wrestler pushes in historical professional wrestling. I did say yesterday, I can't do lists because I will be here forever. But if we're thinking about morbidly obese wrestlers, let's all have a good moment to think about Bastian Booger, shall we? Shall we all have that? Shall we do that? That's good. Connor Pape, do you think NXT should have a secondary title? If yes, who do you think should be the first holder? I don't, Connor. Because I think that they only have an hour-long TV programme. So the title gets defended maybe once every 2 or 3 shows. Their women's title gets defended maybe once every 2 or 3 shows. The tag title gets defended once every 2 or 3 shows. They don't need another title. They don't. And also I think with their roster being so fluid and people not necessarily being there for ages and ages and ages, I don't think it's as important to have a secondary title as it is on the bigger shows, as it were. I mean, it's a good thought, but no. I think no. And that's it. You were the final question, Connor. I mean, you came in after the 1 o'clock deadline I gave out, but I answered it because that's the sort of person I am. Thank you for listening. Hopefully I answered all your questions. If I missed some, it's mainly the vagaries of Twitter, or I just didn't want to repeat myself or give too many people questions that I answered. So apologies. Just tweet me and I'll probably answer you on Twitter. Once again, the plugs, progresswrestling.com/tickets. Use the code NEVERMIND to get the pre-sale tickets for our show, Chapter 35, on August the 28th in Camden. And then progresswrestling.com/shows to get tickets for Chapter 36 in Brixton, our biggest show ever. Over 2,000 people will be at the Brixton Academy watching independent professional wrestling. Me on Twitter, at Jim Smallman. Why, my website, jimsmallman.com. I should have, over the next week or so, my show that I filmed the other week, My Girls, my Edinburgh show from last year. I should have that available for sale at some point. I'm going to do it, pay what you want. So you can technically download it for free. Or you could chuck me some money to go in the baby fund. Up to you. That's what I'm going to do. So that's going to happen at some point in the next couple of weeks. So follow me on Twitter for that. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/Jim Smallman, comedian. And this week, my gigs, baby permitting, are at the Glee Club in Nottingham, should you want to come along and say hello. Remember, if you ever do see me at a comedy gig, just high-five me. I'll know you listen to Tuesday Night Jaw. And also, keep telling people about the podcast. We've gone way over 50,000 listens since we started now, which is amazing. 50,000 downloads, sorry, not listens. 50,000 downloads since we started, which is crazy. That's thanks to you guys. So please keep telling people about the podcast. Keep recommending it. Keep reviewing it and rating it on iTunes and all the various places where you get it. If you need an easy way to tell a friend about it, I've set up a little page on my website, jimsmallman.com/TNJ. It's got all the links to all the downloads, the list of all the episodes, all that jazz. So point people in that direction. jimsmallman.com/TNJ. And there's all the various ways you can sign up. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Next week, baby permitting, hopefully I'll have another Tuesday Night Jaw Meets episode or something else special rather than just a Q&A. This is just a stopgap. Thank you for being patient while we have a baby. And I'll see you soon. All right, thanks for listening, guys. I'll see you in a bit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.